A galactic civil war spreads across the sun. From the height of Coruscant to fiery Mustafar, to fight the evil empire, four people join the fray. These are the heroes of the Hydean Way.
Welcome to Heroes of the Hydean Way. This is a live play podcast that explores published adventures set in Fantasy Flight Games' Star Wars RPG line. Currently, this is the final episode of Season 1 and our final episode of our Friends Like These discussion. I'm Christine. I'm the editor and one of the heroes on the show. And normally this is where we would introduce everybody else, but this was the latter half of a very long recording, so we have a bit of an unusual intro here today. Later on in this episode, we do discuss Season 2 and what's coming next, but this discussion episode was recorded about 2 months ago, so to bring everybody up to speed on what decisions have been made in that interim. Next week, Monday through Friday, we're going to be releasing a series of promos that introduce each of the players and the Game Master for Season 2, new and old voices alike, as well as talking a bit about our experiences with RPGs and giving you a sneak peek into the characters we're looking to play. After next week's promos, we're going to be releasing the two-parter Session 0 we recorded, where we hashed out a lot of those ideas and figure out kind of what we're getting into. And then after that, we're going to finally get into Trouble Brewing, our intro adventure to Season 2. All right, with all of that laid out, why don't we get back to the discussion? So are we ready to move on to the everybody questions?
All right. Now it's the lightning round.
Okay. So from Stan, any real life intrusions on recording sessions that would be fun to hear about?
Oh, I mean, like every 12 seconds I have a child in here. Here's the deal, ladies and gentlemen. My children go to bed at 7. Recording starts at 6:30. So, I mean, I've had poop accidents, vomit accidents, blood accidents. Children just don't feel like going to sleep. My wife needing to tell me that she's just irritated that the children don't want to go to sleep. That's the problem with having children, is they ruin everything that you want to do.
Congratulations on your fourth.
Hold on. Brent, you have grown slightly more grown children than he. Do you confirm this?
Yeah, they don't get any better.
No! Why would you tell me this? No,
he's a monster. We've always known that.
There's less poop issues, but...
What do you mean less? Not none?
You know.
Oh. Fewer poop issues, more blood-related incidents, broken bones, I'm sure.
My kids are fairly sweet in that when we're recording, they will frequently like bring me food. Because I'll get home from work and have about 47 seconds to get down to the computer and get set up. And they'll like bring me food and stuff, but they're just loud. They'll be coming down the stairs and it's...
Start training your children now, Chris.
No, I love my children.
Physical training.
No, what's worse is training the kids to be rogues. So that they're silent.
Yeah,
then you never
but they're
know
sweet
they
because
are.
They'll sound like a herd of elephants coming down the stairs and down the hallway. Then they'll open the door and here's some food. It's like, yeah, I heard you coming.
That's
nice. I like it.
Yeah, I mean, having kids is good though because then you get to have an excuse to like spend part of your day rewatching Avatar: The Last Airbender, which has been my last 2 weeks. It's been great.
Right, you need an excuse to do that.
But I think the other great one, which we've probably all forgotten about, was my battle with crickets.
Oh, yes.
Yes.
Oh, no, no. I remember the long, hard battle.
Before, so last, I think it was last, yeah, last summer, I built Sil Zero HQ in my closet.
It was during Dead in the Water.
And before that, I used to record in the garage, and there was a cricket. And I mean, I missed maybe 45 minutes of that episode because I was walking around the garage with a broom looking for this. It was the loudest cricket I've ever heard in my entire life. And I went, what is wrong with this cricket? And then when I finally found it, it was some sort of mutant cricket. It was larger than normal and black. And I'm like, what is this thing?
Most crickets are black, dear.
No, not around here. Around here, they're kind of like a light brown. And I know this because, okay, so maybe it was an East Coast cricket is the problem.
Somebody shipped it out to you. Somebody...
Okay. It wasn't you, even though you just admitted to knowing about black East Coast crickets.
No, we have Three Mile Island crickets out here, man.
Oh, geez.
I'm literally within the second range band of Three Mile Island.
That explains a few things. Anyway... So that's it for me. It's mostly children and crickets.
Anybody else?
Bugs. Technological and literal.
Yeah.
I get nothing humorous.
No, just Leslie crying by herself because her computer's turned itself off. She doesn't believe in the internet. Or
how we got through Dead in the Water, I don't know.
It was a miracle.
I just want to point out, everybody in listener land, this is technically the second episode you will hear, but this is the first night we are recording on Mr. Positive 3.0. I have a new computer. Everything seems to be golden for now.
Bad motivator.
I hate you. I hate you so much. No, I think the only funny incident with Bugs was made it into a blooper when we were talking, and then I looked down at my tea and there was a bug in my tea.
Yeah.
It was very sad. But because it didn't happen to you, it's funny.
Yep. So also from Stan, which other systems and games do we see lending itself well to this format of long-term play with official adventures?
I've never looked at a D&D module. I've only had the one really run for me routinely. And from what I've heard, it's not well organized. So heck if I know.
I read a Pathfinder one once that seemed nice.
On the other hand,
I've tried running Pathfinder modules before, and I found them very constraining.
Well, okay, here's a question nobody asked me. Chris, after a year of playing with modules, do you have a new opinion about modules? No, I do not. I still hate them.
Fair
enough.
I enjoyed this experience quite a bit, but I think that was because it was a good GM and not because it was a good module. And I will stand by that.
The lesson to take from this is get yourself a good team and roll with it.
Yeah.
Yeah. In defense of modules.
Somebody's got it.
I think that if you view it as a straitjacket that you have to start at the beginning and paint by the numbers, then that's, mm-hmm. You know, it could be good for some groups. It's not necessarily good for all or most. But if you view them as a recipe book of individual encounters and scenes and ideas and maps and that you can kind of twist to your own devices, then I think they become a lot more useful. And that's really what kind of happened here anyway. So,
yeah, I was trying to play D&D with the high school kids, which was a bad idea because I really don't know that game. But they didn't know it either. So, hey, how do they know if I was doing something wrong? And I found like a free module, and that's pretty much what I ended up felt it was useful for. I was like, oh, you balanced all the encounters for me, so I didn't have to figure that part out.
Yeah.
Is it Phandelver?
Believe me, that is huge in D&D for learning it.
Yeah, as somebody whose character died recently. although that actually, that encounter was balanced, Sister Dice Luck was terrible.
Yeah, she also was acting directly in character, and I'm not entirely sure.
No, I think I've talked with her about it afterwards. I think it was all above board. It was just she rolled very well, we didn't. So my girlfriend Nicole runs Dungeons and Dragons, and she loves the pre-published adventures, and is running.
That's a very recent development, by the way.
Well, for me, it's been going on for a while now, and she is now up to running three of them.
Two pre-published. The third one is going to be a new thing. That's going to be kind of weird.
She's still using a module for it, so it's like she's incorporating them all, but she's doing it in different ways.
Bastardizing the module. Overtly.
Yes, which I think is probably the major, like, that's a way to do it. Because, like, out of the three she started running Curse of Strahd, basically out of the book, and then for Out of the Abyss, she kind of started making it her own. And now she's kind of gone back and done the same thing for Curse of Strahd, where she's using them more as like settings.
And okay, guys, basically, do what Ben did, do what Nicole does, make it your own.
Yes.
Well, okay, that's sort of the main thing, is you have to make it your own. Okay, I've covered this on another Tales episode, but in the end it comes down to, I know of exactly one adventure that works kind of sort of as a linear adventure. Otherwise, all of the other ones almost require you to do as your own. The one I'm talking about in that case is Beyond the Rim. In every other case, you have to make it your own because there is no other way to do it. The entire reason why I ran Friends Like These as a first one is because when I picked up the module, I swore to myself it was impossible to run. Like, I did not see a way of how... Okay, they're running against time. Why are they going to these different places? How are they... Like, they go to Co-op. Why are they going to Co-op? And that sort of thing. It's like, okay. So I was trying to figure out, well, why do I get these players to go to Co-op? Then I have a player who becomes Force-sensitive, so I'll toss him a bone for, hey, look, there's something that directly affects your character on Co-op.
So I think if question asker, if you are trying to create your own podcast, number one, email me because I've had this idea that's been it won't go away. So it means I need to do it. I really want to try to develop something to help people start their own actual play podcasts because I've done it enough times now that I think I've got the system down. And so I'm trying to figure out what people are interested in so I can kind of make a comprehensive resource. So email me, sillzeropodcast@gmail.com. Two, I think being a consumer of actual play podcasts, things that are less crunchy seem to flow better. And I think I was interested in Gumshoe, and then I think somebody, maybe it was Brent himself, sent me a video of him and his friend, I can't remember his name.
Jeff.
Probably Jeff.
Jeff Romo.
Yeah.
Out to Jeff Romo.
Yeah, they were playing Gumshoe, and I felt like that was I was really enthralled with that video. The only problem was I kept falling asleep because their voices are so soothing.
Yeah, they really are.
I was watching it, you know, like late at night, and then I'd be like, and then I wake up like, oh no, I missed it. I gotta like figure out where it was. Yeah. So,
thanks.
So, actually, the one thing that, well, Chris, you saying that really puts together one thing that a few other people have said, and something that Christine really sort of told me about with her experience on the Broadsword, doing the Foes podcast.
Yeah, the podcast of Foes.
The whole being on a actual play podcast, you are going so heavily into the narrative. Like Christine can attest on Heroes, the episodes that get chopped down hugely are the combat ones. Any of the skill check, the crunch heavy ones, the crunch goes away because that's boring. It's needed. It can be interesting. It informs the story, but the actual physicality of rolling dice or clicking the buttons.
And I would even say, like, compared to like other actual play podcasts, we still leave a lot of that like crunch in there. Like we try to make sure we're announcing the dice pools and the results as we're spending them. Cause I think that's something That's like something I like about this system. I like that that helps tell the story.
Mm-hmm. And that's one of the things that, like, that was sort of one of the goals for doing Heroes. Whereas the D&D podcasts I listen to, and to be honest, it's few and far between because I just don't like that style of fantasy. The ones I care about are narrative and keep the combat very showy. Like, they will do something a lot closer to, say, a Jackie Chan style fight, as opposed to I am trying to swing my battle axe and I roll the die. Oh, I miss. And it's a very compact to the 15 seconds that the round is, as opposed to trying to be a lot more showy with it, of whether they're succeeding or failing or any of that sort of stuff. And this system, just everything you do with those dice tells a story.
I just want to say, guys, listeners, that I cut Christine off talking about Nicole because I know how long the conversation can go because I was trying to expedite this question. But since it has been completely derailed anyway, I'd like to apologize to Christine for cutting her off.
It's okay. You're terrible. I'm going to have to take over making fun of you duties from Brent and Chris for season 2.
Oh, I'm sure everybody will volunteer in turn. That's usually how it goes.
Yeah. Yeah. It's okay. I talk a lot about like game theory and stuff with her. So
also, if you're interested in starting a new actual play podcast, here are some requests that I have. I would like a paranoia one. I would like a shoot.
How do you even know of paranoia?
Because he's paranoid.
Well, like, who isn't?
I heard an actual play, but it was like a show that they only do one shots. It wasn't one shot. It was I can't remember it. It was a Canadian guy though. It's really nice. So I want a paranoia one. I would like a Stars by Number. What's that one?
Oh yeah,
Stars Without Number.
Stars Without Number. I would like a Stars Without Number. I would like a if you have a really solid handle on like old school sci-fi, and you would like to do a Traveler podcast, I would be down with that. but I don't want you to do it space opera style. I want you to do it like like Asimov style. Okay, so those are my personal requests. If you do those, I will promote the heck out of them.
Unless, get on it.
Unless
chip,
you're
chip.
Bad at it, in which case I won't.
Then he'll shun you without mercy.
So let's do our last couple of questions here.
Sure.
And then we're gonna start heading into our wrap up. Not the same thing as the outro, but we've kind of addressed this some, but just to kind of lay it out there, what is our review of Friends Like These?
Oh, are we doing like a point system, a letter grade system?
You start us off, Chris. How do you want to do this? Are we doing letter grade? Are we doing stars?
Okay, I'll do a letter grade. I think people relate to letter grades.
And you're a teacher.
I give it a C-. I don't like it. part of it's just personal. I don't like it when the rebellion seems to be in equal ability to the Empire. I mean, the whole premise is wait for reinforcements, and I feel like the rebellion should not have reinforcements. That's the point. I think the struck, there's some good bones in there. I think the Kawak thing is pretty interesting. I like the Tals and Mandalorians hanging out together. Mm-hmm. I think what we talked about with the timer could be changed to be better, so that choice is more meaningful. I don't know. I wasn't a huge fan of... I had a hard time, and I think this even came through in character. I had a hard time believing that the rebels would find this one operation so vastly important. I feel like the way the rebellion is mostly portrayed is not like the long game, but we need to do short, punchy, dramatic moves. And this seemed more like a long game strategy. Like, well, we're going to need this repair base because we're going to be in this war for a long time. And that didn't sit with my personal view of the rebellion. So again, a lot of it's kind of personal for me. C-.
Leslie?
It was okay. I'd probably put it just... I don't have enough exposure to modules to give it a comfortable letter grade.
Just pick one.
C+. I think the structure, like you said, it's got good bones. It's got really good elements to it. I'm just not sure how cohesive it all feels. And again, That does seem... I guess I'm not familiar with how time works in Star Wars, like traveling from planet to planet.
No one does. It's so, becoming that whole, more timey-wimey wibbly-wobbly.
Yeah.
That whole time frame, like, I feel like there should be definitive ways to delineate before you reach the end of all things. And the thing is, I don't know how much of that's because we derailed Ben spectacularly at times. Because, you know, it's modules are all your mileage may vary, because none of us are seven or ten people are not the writers, so we don't know the perfect idea of how it was intended. But it just seemed to stretch from premise to so on.
I'm gonna go in and jump in here because I also would give it a C+. For some of the same reasons, and I think my biggest thing in terms of it is the pacing. It feels like the pacing of like one of the Alien movies, where you kind of everything's sort of backloaded, and I had points in the module where I was like, okay, I'm ready for a fight or a challenge or something, and then at the end I had the opposite where I was ready to not fight and do something different. So I didn't like how everything was sort of stacked in either direction. Just for a point of comparison, I would give Dead in the Water an A, because that I just thought had all the perfect elements there. It was a good length that had good pacing to it. It had a good villain to it that we got to engage with a bit more than Nervy. So
he's not a villain anymore, though.
No, which is exciting for potentially for the future.
That's a good point. I think I would have also given
a lot of that was Ben, though, is in the text. That's not a very developed character.
True.
Yeah. I think I would also give Dead in the Water a higher grade, like a B+.
Brent?
Yeah, I would say that I'm kind of where you guys are. I like Dead in the Water better. I think with the good group and good characters and, you know, folks like you all who are totally into it, we're going to have fun no matter what you do. But I think your observations about the adventure are valid. And for me, I'm kind of... I like long-term campaigns, but it's getting increasingly difficult to fit into my lifestyle. And so lately I've been playing a lot more like two or three shots, and I find myself a lot more able just to focus on those. Mm-hmm. On some of these year-long deals, I honestly just get lost, especially when I'm trying to do multiple of them at the same time. I'll start to mix them together, forget what happened in which one. So, I think that probably also, colored my effect, you know, my view of it, because, you know, 2 or 3 years ago I would have been much more into that, and now it's just more difficult for me to do the long stretches, so that probably impacted my enjoyment as well.
Yeah, fair enough.
And Ben?
I have no idea what litter grades are. We were all numeric up here. Sorry.
Oh, sorry.
Oh, right. Canadians.
4, 3, 2, 1.
2.5. It tests.
Is 1 good or bad?
2.5 would be like a C.
Yeah. So rating about like where Leslie and I put it.
Like, it's not, as I said earlier, this seriously was, when I initially read it, it was, how the heck do you do this? And they've got a map in there that just doesn't really work. They don't have the surface map mapped out at all.
You've oh, really? Got,
oh, yeah. Like that map that I threw up, that was just me.
Oh my God.
But it seemed really important. Why wouldn't you have a map?
Well, FFG's horrible for actually doing maps anymore. They're also really time... I've talked to people at FFG about maps. They don't like doing them for reasons that actually make a lot of sense. But they're also, in this case, really important. The timetable is always so hard to do, and it, like, sometimes you can get them just right. Sometimes you can be a little too player positive, which I kind of was, and there's the idea for it. Like, if you're to get the timer just right, you've got the players racing back to try and get ahead of the Star Destroyer, and they're supposed to be at best being able to get a night's sleep beforehand, or being able to get a night's sleep on the trip back to Kolok. And I just obviously wasn't able to make that work. in individual sections, they were great. Like, the four different... Zorn itself, the power structure, there's just so much there. I almost wish that there had been a adventure based on Zorn ahead of time that then...
like, fed into it, because it was a big info dump when we got there.
Well, there's a huge info dump. No one cared about the characters there because, well, I'm just meeting these and I'm being told that you have to save these guys. Well, obviously, they're not good at what they do anyway because they're not able to defend this place. Why aren't they just running? Which, okay, that makes a huge amount of sense, though there's also a huge amount of, well, why the heck should I? The reinforcement part is actually the part that I liked. It was the... Every time I come up with this, this was sort of like the first kick at me attempting to do that style of adventure. Like, trying to build up enough resources to hold out until reinforcements can come. And I like the idea. I grew up with stories of... or one of the movies that I grew up... Because me, movies. Watching a lot was... Actually, two of them. One was Midway, and the other one was the Battle of Britain, which both have horrendous historical inaccuracies, but it was the 60s, 70s, whatever. The sort of feeling of the Battle of Britain, where, at least in the movie, you've got just getting worn down, worn down, worn down, worn down, worn down, worn, like, to where it's almost like just bare knuckles from hanging on so long, and then actually getting some reinforcements to come in. Like, that's kind of what drew me to friends like these. But the basic structure for it... back in a discussion episode we had with...
Keith?
Keith Kappel.
By the way, we still love you, Keith.
He had mentioned... Yeah, we just weren't thinking about getting you over here this time. He had mentioned that this one... This adventure had gone through several development cycles, and like he had written it, then he got paid to rewrite it, and then they redeveloped it in-house, and you can feel it. Like, as everyone said, there's some great bones here, but by George, you gotta work at it to make it work.
Too many cooks in the kitchen, you think?
Yeah, that's pretty apt to it. There's just too... The idea is great, but the execution, just not quite there. And, yeah, it, like with any of these adventures, the problem that I generally have with these adventures is there's nothing there to actually sort of bring you into why are these player characters the ones for this adventure. And that's, for next season's Session Zero, that's going to be a question. That's going to be sort of the thing. It's, well, what are we doing? This is the adventure, but why you people? And that'll be a fun thing.
To wrap up at least our kind of discussion on the Friends Like These front, think we'll see the Shock Squad again. That was another Seamus question. And he did add in parentheses, obviously this question assumes any of them survived.
That was accidental.
Which the brief answer is yes. We have talked in kind of vague terms about where the various three characters that made it could pop up again someday as cameos or otherwise in future hero seasons.
Oh, there's already a cameo planned for Nima and Mala.
For season two?
Yep, for season two.
Okay, so yeah, you bumped that up on me. Yeah, that would explain why you asked me about a description thing you're going to send me at some point. Okay, so confirmed.
And everyone else, like, we've got Force ideas for Matu. We've got, when we get around to doing Rebellion stuff again, we're probably going to work Kith into it somehow.
I don't know, man. I'm just along for the ride. Just jazzed to be on the show.
Just kind of to wrap things up, you know, because we've been dancing around season two, the whole discussion. Ben, what's next for Heroes of the Hydean Way? What are people going to be tuning into next week?
Next week, who knows?
Like, that's true.
Just on account of this weird scheduling things. Like, okay, this is being recorded on the 12th of June.
Well, for some of us.
That's only because you're in those weird eastern places of the United States.
Us wacky East Coasters.
Yeah, like some sane so people zany. Are more out west. And then there's Chris, who's really west.
There's Chris.
We're recording this on the 12th.
Of June, by the way. Of June should be noted, because when this comes out, it'll be like August?
Yeah, sure. So we're recording this on the 12th of June. We are changing what day and whatnot that here's this recorded on and what time. But going by that, then we get into July, and July turns into this wibbly-wobbly timey-wimey thing for everyone. Because, well, you've got 4th of July, or like the same people getting stuff on the 2nd, which is going to be a day off for me. Then like birthdays and whatnot are happening towards the end of the month. Like weird things. So the way everything works out, there's probably going to be a like 2-session one shot going on that's going to have a weird rotating group on. Who knows? But that could be coming in between now and season 2. Who knows? Who knows?
Well,
no one does.
Can we say what adventure we're going to do for season 2?
Oh, that. So after that, however it gets decided, which honestly is going to be Christine once she has everything, is we are going to be doing a intro adventure. Which, yeah, probably is going to be Trouble Brewing out of the Edge of the Empire core book. And then we're going to be doing Mask of the Pirate Queen. Ooh. On account of, first off, it's the last, or the most recent Edge of the Empire adventure out. And because of that, that means a lot of people won't have read it. And the other one is, it actually works really well in, like, breaking up into 3 different sections that you can just go whole hog on the 3 different sections. They're very different, and I get to play an NPC Hurglick.
The real reason comes up.
Really, friends, that's why he picked it.
The Hurglick actually had very little to deal with. It was more the...
Mm-hmm.
Oh, the Pirate Queen is a character where... I'm not quite sure which one called it out, whether it was Christine or whether it was Chris or who, but the bad guys in most of the FFG modules aren't there all the time. And, well, in some of them they are, in some of them they aren't. In Friends Like These, Nervy ain't there. Like,
yeah.
He doesn't show up until the very, 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 very end. Otherwise, the antagonist is time. Like, and what kind of antagonist is that? Whereas in Mask of the Pirate Queen, the Pirate Queen is there. The very first thing, like, it all starts off with, hey, look, you get a bounty on the Pirate Queen. So the Pirate Queen shows up throughout the entire thing. That's not really a spoiler.
Okay.
Well, he said it was the very first thing.
Starts off with, hey, look, You get very generous bounty on the Pirate Queen. Then, like, their other one, the Force ones are, I have my Force stuff that is...
we'll get there. We'll get to the Force stuff.
There are some adventures who do really good with having characters that drive on the antagonist side. There are others that don't. And the ones that we're going to, starting with Mask of the Pirate Queen, have better antagonist than Friends Like These.
Now, though, as kind of part of this, I am sad to say that, you know, Brent and Chris, as kind of has been mentioned throughout, will not be part of season 2, just for kind of life reasons, which we're going to really, really miss you too.
It's Leslie. We're both quitting because of Leslie.
I don't blame you.
we both came to an agreement that if players don't have backstories, we just can't work in those conditions. So
I understand.
I just don't really see how it's going to work. No. I mean,
but I am pleased to say that we're going to be having David Pickering from Tales from the Hydean Way as one of the new players, as well as newcomer to the show, yes, Brandon Perdue.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Woo. So we might even have an Alpha in relation to the much fabled Mazer on the show.
Ah, yeah, that's true.
That's what he keeps threatening us with anyway.
An unfortunate fascination with caps.
Well, we'll see what comes up this time. It's been amazing to have the two of you as players. You've both helped me grow. As a GM, you've both helped me grow. Chris, you've helped push me into doing a bunch of things that I just never felt comfortable doing. And, like, the voices, like, doing half of the stuff that you pushed me into doing. It's been great.
And it's made the show better for it. Because I remember having the voice conversation back when we began, and you didn't think you could do any of them. And by, like, Act 4, I'm barely modulating you at all for these people.
I'll say the one thing that about the voices is, if you've got glasses, doing the pinch nosing is really annoying.
I've enjoyed coming. Thank you guys for inviting me along, even though it turns out I was not the first choice. That's okay. It's okay.
I'm sorry.
That's all right. I've moved on past that. It's been fun. I have never been a player ever, so that was a good experience for me. I learned a lot about role playing and GMing and just making some friends. And I'm calling dibs on doing your Halloween special still.
Okay, let's put that on the calendar, because that would be awesome.
I'm going to try to trick them into letting Matt come on again, even though I know it was mayhem the last time we were both here. But maybe they'll have forgotten that. And maybe they'll just let me do it.
Well, here's the real thing, though. We can take Matt, but we can't have the two of you together again.
I really wish I could stick around, but I am having a fourth child, and I've got a bunch of other things, other projects I want to do. So, but I feel like I'm not quitting the team. I'm just taking like
a sabbatical,
a step back. You know, I want to be around still. So, if you were hoping this was the last time you heard me, sorry.
Yeah, no, I will echo all that. It's been a great adventure. It's been a lot of fun. While I'm sad to go, I think that there is a lot to be said for, kind of rotating folks through. I've played with David before. He's obviously fantastic and is going to bring a lot to the show. And I think that if you never had any turnover, things would probably become stale, and I don't think it'd be healthy long term. So I think it, even though I'm just kind of leaving for real life reasons, I think that it can have a really positive effect, and I'm excited to see where it goes.
Thank you. And okay, I have one question for the four of you. Did the four of you have fun doing this?
I would have been gone after the second week if I wasn't.
Yeah, do you want me to give it a letter grade or? No, it was, of course it was fun. I got to live out childhood fantasies. And I think what was important to me is we've been doing this now through the span of three Star Wars movies that have been released.
Weirdly enough, yeah. Wow.
I think it was good for me to have a spot to feel safe and express my Star Wars feelings.
I'm glad one of us felt safe.
Nah, come on, Leslie. We know we love you.
Even though we don't really know you, there's no backstory. So.
If that is your real name,
I swear the next character is going to have this so elaborate backstory,
and it's going to outshine. You know what's going to happen? Like the second group, like the other three of us, are going to have like very minimal backstories, and then we're gonna rag on her about, well, why did you put all the, why did you send Ben all that information? God, we're just trying to be in the moment here.
Gee, prima donna.
First lady of the stage. That's me.
Just to echo kind of what's being said, I would not be returning for season two if I didn't have a good time doing this. It's weird to be on the other end of the first season. Do you have put like a year and a half into a podcasting project? I am amazed that I haven't died from the editing.
Because, yeah, it was December 2016 that you put out Feelers.
Yeah, which is all Ross Rockefeller from the Dicer Brain podcast fault for letting me do his pregame and giving me that itch. But I'm so, so glad that we did start the show. Because, I didn't know if I was gonna make it a year. And now it's been so much longer than that. And we're looking on to new adventures at this point.
Well, if this is my last chance to say it, please get another software.
I'm sorry.
Please.
I was waiting for it, Chris.
It's one of my plans is, as we're going into season two, we're going to kind of build things back up from the ground up. I want to redo the intro and the outro and, play around with our formatting some. And one of those things is going into season two, I'm going to try out a different editing software. And so everybody will get to experience the rough early episodes as Christine tries to figure out how to edit with something new.
How to Reaper.
I mean, geez, even Leslie got a new computer.
I'm sorry. I'm on a different computer than when we began. I'm still on my
I had
kind
fun.
Of loner backup.
But I don't
different matter, doesn't so. Mean better.
And I have actually all my equipment's different except for my editing software.
Yeah, I have your old microphone though.
Yeah, because I upgraded to the Yeti and my old headset died, and so I have this terrible headset that I hate that hurts my head. So all sorts of
my
updates.
Gosh,
yeah, wine,
you're
such
wine, a delicate wine. Flower.
All right, so should we do the outro one more
yeah,
time?
Yeah, we should probably do the outro.
I would like to formally apologize to the listeners for being the driving force behind both Brent and Chris leaving the show. I would like to apologize to Ben for flatly refusing to leave. And I'm not apologizing to Christine for
anything.
You're
lucky that I date your roommate. Otherwise, I would have gone too. But, I've got to put up with you anyway, so...
Oh, I'm lucky that you date my roommate that I introduced
yes.
you to.
By the way, thank you so much for that. That's another thing that the show has given me.
Uh-huh. Right.
Well...
Sounds
like a cool backup. Thank you for tuning in to this last episode of Season 1 of Heroes of the Hydean Way. You can find show updates and what happens next on Twitter at The Hydean Way. And you can find me, Ben, on Twitter, as I opine about most things Star Wars and RPGs, at Deuterium Ice.
You can find me on Twitter, at 12th Knight. That's 12th and Knight with a K.
You can find Brent on Twitter, at iBrentBrown. And I'm getting pretty far to the bottom of the
one
list
one
last
here. One.
I knew there was more to you than money.
Oh, that's a deep cut, but I like it.
Yeah.
Princess Leia at the end of A New Hope.
I was leaning that direction, but I'm like, I need to rewatch the movies anyway. Leslie, formerly Kith, Leslie GS, and last thought is goodbye, all my buddies.
That's for a different game. I didn't even get a chance to read that question.
Hey, it's me, Chris. You can still hear me do this game on a different context at Silhouette Zero. That's not going anywhere. So SilZeroPodcast.com, like the show Twitter, SilZeroChris, SilZero. For my personal stuff, you can go to at InDaydreams on Twitter. I've got, I don't know, like four different things going on. So if you're curious, you want to know what I'm up to, that's where you can find out about it.
Also, if you want to start an actual play podcast, that's where you can get a hold of it.
Yeah, for real. This is really a thing I want to do. I think more people want to do actual play podcasts, and they're afraid. And being a teacher, this bothers me, and I want to help.
It does seem very daunting from the beginning, but it's not that bad once you get into it. Like, the hardest part is learning how to edit the audio.
No, that's formidable. But no, it definitely is a formidable kind of discipline thing to get at. Yeah.
So
we are all at thehydeandway.com, where you can find previous episodes and our sister podcast, Tales from the Heidi and Way.
Our podcasts are on iTunes, Stitcher, and Google Play, where you can find more episodes and help us out by rating and reviewing the show.
We're also on Facebook as Heroes of the Heidi and Way.
You can drop us a holocom over at heroes@theheidianway.com.
If you like what we do and want to support the show, you can find us at patreon.com/theheidianway.
Or you can donate a coffee to us over at ko-fi.com/theheidianway.
A galactic civil war spreads across the sun. From the heights of Coruscant to fiery Mustafar, to fight the evil empire, for people join the fray. These are the heroes of the Hydean Way.
Of the Heidian Way. Shh, tambourine.